Hi everyone, welcome back to the Chris Ward podcast. If you are new here, if you're just tuning in for the first time, my name is Chris. I help men and female all around the world dispel bullshit myths from nutrition and fitness and also help them get in much better shape, much healthier mindset toward food, and also removing a lot of the stigma around female fat loss as well in the meantime. Now, in this episode today, I have with me Em McDonald. Well, we were in a Facebook group. It was a brilliant live Q&A session with some preloaded questions from the group beforehand, mainly aimed towards female fat loss, menopause, PCOS, endometriosis, and removing the stigma around, just around in the industry and explaining these things and normalizing it as well. So I quite enjoyed this podcast episode. I hope this gives you value and feel free to share. Feel free to rate on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you can. And just help share on social media, get the word out there, and help someone else find this as much value as you do. All right, so without any further ado, let's get into today's episode.
With me tonight is an absolutely superb young man, Chris, who is going to do some Q&As. You guys, honestly, Chris, the questions that came in from this lot were insane. Yes.
They were. To be honest, it was brilliant looking at the questions coming through. Like, they're coming through like quick fire questions, but they were really, really good. So I'm excited to answer them. My name is Chris and I'm from Liverpool. I'm not sure if you can tell from the tidied up accent. Yeah, don't worry. So I'm from Liverpool and I'm a nutritionist and PT. I'm currently trying to remove a lot of stigma in industry regarding obviously female fat loss and things like PCOS and other health implications when it comes to female physiology and all the other exciting stuff we can set on researching and stuff. So yeah, I'm just trying to remove some of the stigma around that, allowing people to be their own scientists when it comes to nutrition and their own health. So I guess in a nutshell, I lift weights, I read, and I like to research.
And you have a little dog.
I have a little dog. I don't like that. Yeah. Truth be told, right, I like my girlfriend's dog more than my own dog.
So the questions that came in were just right up Chrissy's street. So this is why I decided. And also, I think because I do have two gentlemen that come to my group, and I noticed Nick put a question in, but the majority of the people that do come to my group are varied ages, which is just so lovely. We're talking from the teens right up to 50, 60, and I just think it's ace. And they're obviously so interested in how they can support their bodies. And I think it's what I think so really nice, Chris, is this is actually coming from a male who really wants to understand and learn and share the knowledge he has as a male PT, which I think is just ace.
Yeah, I think the summer is quite refreshing to see. There's not much male PTs and coaches out there making noise at the moment. There's a select few, but there's not many. And I think this is partly why I like to make so much noise about it, because there's typically not many people making noise about it. So if anyone watching this gets value from the questions I answer, then that's all I'm here for.
I'm going to start probably with one of the questions just that I think is really appropriate to kick off the whole conversation that we had. And it was a question from Nicola that you really, really liked. So if I can just get to the right part. So the question from Nicola is just a really, really nice way to kickstart the conversation. And I'll just read a little bit out to you. I'll try and just condense it a little bit so that we're not reading the whole thing out. So Nicola obviously works in government development, and she writes for Women's Health to reduce health inequalities. The main priorities are sexual health, menstrual health, endometriosis, menopause, and heart health. She says that constantly in her job, girls feel like they don't have access to this sort of information on these issues, and they never get taken seriously. Is there anything that you think government and healthcare professionals should do, know in this area to better support and inform women?
Absolutely. Again, I loved that question coming through, only because of the endometriosis part, which my other half does suffer with this. So it's something that I can say it's interesting to know about, but in that sense, there is a lot that the government can do, different governments can do, to give females and anyone else access to a lot more information. And this is simply by making it more spoken about, making it more accessible to you know, on social media, on the website, on the NHS websites. Like, what frustrates me the most is the information out there right now. It's very, very cloudy, and it's very, you know, it's some of it's misleading, some of it's like absolute BS, which I think in this day and age has a lot of people confused. Like she mentioned before on endometriosis and like sexual health, and I think, to be honest, the best part for that is just to have, you know, dietitians, nutritionists, and to have a body of people just purely focused on female health.
Yeah.
So given real information or given real value when it comes to PCOS, to endometriosis, you know, how to lose weight. Because in not sure with like in Scotland, but in UK, like in England, same probably the same information that's probably available. I'm not sure that with the government, but in this day and age, when you say get diagnosed with PCOS, you just got told to lose weight. You get told losing weight will help. That's all. But they're not pushed on more information. Like, that's not enough. You know, that is not enough. Because people have questions. People have, you know, they want to know how. It's one thing saying it, but it's another thing giving the value information on it. So, like with PCOS, how many people know with PCOS your basal metabolic rate can be reduced anywhere from 14 to 40%?
Wow.
Like, that's not even, that's not a small number. That's a big fucking number. So,
is there a lot of people suffering with this and really not really having any understanding how to deal with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've found in the last few months that I've spoken up about it more, there's been so much traffic, you know, messaging me saying, finally someone's talking about it. I've not heard this before. Even people who have got PTs saying, my PT doesn't know much about it. I'm like, cool. Well, let's start making them aware of it. Mm-hmm. And let's start making them speak about it more. You know, what's it got to take on a grand scale for people to get access to this information? You know, does certain governments need to work with different nutritionists, different dietitians? You know, has it got to come to a body of people who just focus on these things? You know, can the government work with nutritionists on that sense? You know, I think the government right now in either Scotland or England, they separate themselves a lot from people like, again, people like us.
Mm-hmm.
We help people. We generally help people.
Yeah, this is a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it, Chris? Like, they don't, I know. It's...
Do you know what I mean? And I think the response to that is what can the government do to focus more on, you know, the female health and the sexual health. And, you know, it's a separation. Like, why separate the people making the most noise about it? And, you know, the clinical side, like the NHS and stuff, like, why separate it?
It shouldn't
why
be.
Why not work with people like myself who are trying to make noise about it to give females and even males value on it? Do you know what I mean? It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. That's why you're trying. That's why you're just...
That's why,
and I can see how passionate you are about it as well, which is really, really good. And it's so refreshing to see, because it needs to be normalized, and people need to, I keep saying this, this is why I did this tonight, knowledge is power. People need to understand so that they can help themselves. And I think that's really, really important. I'll move on to the thing of just carrying on from Nicola's question. Do you have any views on, are you okay if I jump between as we go through?
Cool. Go for it.
Nicola also asked, do you have any views on supplements such as magnesium to support menstrual health or seed cycling? And I think a few people kind of asked that question of, should I be taking anything as I enjoy fitness, I enjoy doing fitness, but should I be supporting my body in another way with supplements? What are your views on supplements and vitamins and minerals and etc.?
Cool. So from supplements, from a menstrual health standpoint, so let's talk what our body does from a menstrual cycle point of view. So we have the follicular phase, ovulation, and luteal phase of a cycle. Typically 28 days is a cycle, right? So from the first 7 days is the period stage. Typically females tend to utilize more magnesium in this time. Okay, so when they intake food, it gets utilized a lot more, but the rest of the cycle, it doesn't. So from a magnesium standpoint, we don't need to be too stressed on that, like on that certain mineral. What we do need to be more focused on is iron. So obviously in blood, we lose a lot of iron. Mm-hmm. Interestingly speaking, females need twice as much iron per day as males. So males is, I think, 7 milligrams of iron, and females is 14.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is because of the blood loss during the first period stage. But yeah, in a sense of supplementation and menstrual health, I think everyone can just literally expect to have an iron and folate supplement. Nothing miraculous, you know, just to support your iron levels. You know, sometimes people can end up anemic. If you have such of a heavy cycle, you can end up anemic. I know through endometriosis that sometimes it can be heavy.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of iron. That's a lot of blood loss. That's a lot of iron loss. And you can potentially end up anemic, which in itself isn't really great.
No, definitely but not.
From other supplementary point of views, I typically say to people, listen, don't overcomplicate it. Go for a vitamin D supplement. You know, we live in the UK or Scotland. Weather is absolutely crap.
And yeah.
If, you know, we're not getting out much, so vitamin D, we're not getting in. So vitamin D, absolutely, absolutely consider it.
So it doesn't need to be, it really doesn't need to be that complicated. And it is, like, and to be perfectly honest, we're going to get the majority of this stuff out of our food anyway. Like,
yeah.
True?
Yeah. From an iron standpoint, yes. But from a vitamin D standpoint, we can't get as much through foods. We can get a little bit. There are like fortified cereals and eggs and stuff. But to accommodate for what the body needs, you'd have to consume a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah.
I'm just having a quick look at my iPad as well. So thanks everybody for commenting. I'm trying to keep up at the same time, but I'm not seeing anything come through there, which is just really, really great. And a lot of people are saying, Chris, that they Trisha says that she's had endometritis. Yeah, Trisha's saying that she suffers with that quite a lot as well. So yeah, thank you for keeping in the loop, guys. I've got 21 people online, which is just great.
Boom.
I'm going to move on to just a couple of the other questions. So one that Charlotte had put, so there is one special little week per month, regardless what we do or eat or train, and you feel at least 10 kilograms heavier. Water retentive and lack of energy during your workout. Would you recommend altering exercise routine on period week or keep it the same? Is there any particular food that would help us to boost our energy when we're on our periods?
Brilliant question. Brilliant question. Yes to both of them. From a workout point of view, listen, from when you're on your period, it's fucking uncomfortable. Okay,
I hate it.
Do you know what? I haven't had one. Certainly not yet, but I can't imagine it to be nice. So from a workout perspective, let's say you're strength training or resistance training. Let's say on the first week of a cycle, so period week, let's say you're not feeling so great, you're feeling bloated, you're feeling crap, right? So let's say that day you're expected to do a heavy squat or a deadlift or a bench or some high intense movement, some heavy weights. Maybe opt for a lower percentage of weight, work more towards an RPE scale So rate of perceived exertion. You know, maybe you'd be able to lift possibly 60% of what you can normally lift in that week. All right. Go opt for a lower weight in whatever you're doing. Opt for maybe less reps or sets. And just be fucking kind to yourself on that front. Okay. If you're in the gym environment, maybe opt for more of a machine. Okay. So if you normally do a heavy squat, maybe opt for a leg press. Because it's not going to be that comfortable. Not many people are comfortable training when on a period. That's fine. It's absolutely fine. Just opt for something lighter. Or just, you know, if you don't want to train, don't train.
And what about like the, because obviously quite a large amount of the people that come to my classes are into group fitness. So quite high intensity. We've got your body combatters in there. We've got your attackers. We've got your cyclists who really like that quite high energy where you need quite a lot of stamina, and some days you're just not gonna feel like that. So would you recommend just either not doing it at all, but maybe just saying, look, I'm not gonna go to that class today and I'm just gonna go for a wee steady state cycle instead? Or
either, like if you're gonna do the class, just work from RPE. Just realign expectations of, okay, normally I can do 50 burpees in 2 minutes. Maybe today, in this moment in time when I'm on the first 7 days on the period cycle, maybe I won't get that 50 burpees.
Yeah.
Realign expectations. Don't be a dick to yourself. Just work from the RPE scale and just realize you're not going to be performing at your best.
Yeah.
What was the other question to that? What was the, the food standpoint?
So is there any particular food that you would recommend as a quick energy boost to just see you through?
Cool. So yes, either extra couple of pieces of fruit or chocolate. Do you know what I mean? So let me go into more in depth with this. So when a female is on the first 7 days, they are burning more energy. They are burning, I think it's 1.2 to 1.3 times their normal BMR. So that equates to between 200 and 300 calories extra per day. Instead of holding back and trying to stick to your deficit on the first 7 days, why don't we add another 200-300 calories through either, you know, extra pieces of fruit or one piece of fruit and some chocolate? You know what I mean? That's music to everyone's ears. Like, fuck me, chocolate.
I know.
Fruit and chocolate. Yes. Yeah, like, we're burning more energy. So you're still going to be in a deficit when you're having them extra pieces of fruit and you're having that one or two square of lint. Do you know what I mean? But wouldn't we rather do that, still be in a deficit, rather than hanging back, getting the craving and holding on to it and going, no, and go boom, binging. Do you know what I mean? So try the extra pieces of fruit, one or two pieces of fruit and a little bit of chocolate to satisfy your craving. Don't try and hold on to it. It's like a kid. When you're like a kid walks in a shop and you say, you know, don't touch anything.
What's the first thing you're going to do?
It's like that. So yeah, that's, I hope that was a decent response to that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just flicking through. Did you write any down that you want to jump in with while I'm having a wee look and I'm looking at Facebook? Did you write any down, Chris? Did you see?
I've written a few things down from...
I'm going to go with Sharon's because it's something quite different, okay? So she said, Sharon just got diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years ago, and as part of her treatment, she's taken estrogen suppressants. I can't pronounce half this stuff. At the end of the month, she's having a full hysterectomy and ovaries removed, which is going to plunge her into surgical menopause. How will the sudden change in estrogen levels affect her energy and training, and what can she do to help keep up her training after this surgery?
Cool. Decent question. And to be fair play to, is it Sharon?
Sharon, yeah.
Cool. Fair play for going through that. Absolute fair play. So through a menopausal standpoint, so when we when we go into menopause and when we get a surge or a dip in estrogen, guess what happens when you get put into menopause? Your estrogen levels plummet. So when this happens, we can expect it to, if not addressed through a nutritional sense and a training sense, you can expect to, over the years, get a decline in like muscle mass and bone density. You could potentially, not to scaremonger, probably like end up with like osteoporosis. That's like the brittle bones. Mm-hmm. So bone mass will go down, muscle mass will go down, strength will go down. But this is only if not addressed, high protein diets, strength training. Keep doing what you're doing on that sense. You know what I mean? So if you are going through menopause, if you are getting a dip
I think a lot of the questions, sorry Chris to interrupt, a lot of the questions that we got in were surrounding the, obviously there's quite a lot of the ladies that do come that are hitting that point, and they just they feel like they're fighting a losing battle now because things aren't shifting. Their bodies aren't changing, they're starting to not stress out about it, but they're hitting that point where things are starting to go different ways, and you can just carry on to give them an insight of what can they do.
Yeah, so
with their training,
so keep training on a sense of keep doing strength training, maybe realign your expectations of what potentially you want your goal physique, all the I want abs, I want this, I want that. A lot of questions I think referred to the midsection, so the stomach, and we can't necessarily, obviously we can't spot reduce fat, yes, but we can, as females, you store it in different places. Over time that will improve, but maybe just realign expectations towards your goal physique, and maybe put more attention, and that's going to be less demotivating, put more of attention on getting a new PB in the gym. Doing a certain amount of burpees in 2 minutes, doing a barbell hip thrust for X weight. Do you know what I mean? Maybe focus more on that rather than putting too much pressure on yourself at that age to be like, I want to have the perfect body. I want to have this. I want to have that. Because you're trying to fight a battle with your body, and it's going to demotivate you in a sense, because it's going to take longer. It can happen. It is totally possible.
That's what I was just going to say, because it's not that it can't happen, because I don't want to say I've seen people like this and I've seen people that, but what it comes down to is it is working with somebody who knows what they're talking about, and I've got a coach, you as a coach have a coach, and I think that's so important, that it's not all them, it's you as well. You need to be prepared to put the work in, and I think Shola made a comment saying she's a fitness instructor, she's pumped, she's combat, she does a lot of classes, she feels like she should be ripped. But I think it's just having yeah, exactly. We're all absolutely unique. Not. Yeah.
It's sad that typically that's sad that someone thinks they have to be in that position, and that, being a group instructor, being a PT, you think instantly you've got to be ripped, you've got to be shredded. That's not the case. Not the case. Mm-hmm. I know some fantastic instructors and some fantastic PTs who have not got abs. Mm-hmm. I mean, where does that come into play of given? I know some people who are shredded as fuck, but are absolute idiots as PTs. So, swings and roundabouts, goes both ways.
And I think it's important for Shola to know she did have a child later age, and it's not that she I think what she means is she feels like she does so much. She's taking part in training in 6 classes a week. But I think what's important is, even though you're doing classes and you're doing group fitness classes, I try to emphasize in my group quite a lot how important strength training is, because group fitness is great. It's brilliant, brings us all together. But if you're actually truly wanting to make any shift in body composition, you need to lift weights. And it's not just your 10 kilogram dumbbells. Like, you need to work. Am I right? Or
yeah,
am I...
absolutely. Like, you're speaking my language now. Yes! Yeah, you need to, absolutely. Like, you can't be, I say this to people all the time, male and female, is you got to stop fannying around with doing the, you know, 1 kilogram lat raises for 30 reps, 40 reps, 50 reps. If you want to build muscle, you got to do the work. You got to do the big movements, the compounds, lower your reps, up the weight in time. Aim for progressive overload. Keep a log of what you lift and how it feels, the RPE of each lift, you know. And if you're female, keep a track of what week of your cycle you're in. So if you're training on 1 week, you know, how does it feel on that week compared to what week you're in? Mm-hmm. So week one, week two. You're going through different stages and physiologies in the month. Your performance would not be the same week in, week out.
I can't be arsed.
Absolutely not.
I can't be bothered. That's how I feel. I'm at, like, my 1.5s feel about 40 kilograms.
Yeah. And if you want to hack it, and if you want to lift your best, and if you want to go for a PB, do it around the mid stage of the 28-day cycle, because you get a surge in testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
So do that.
Yeah. I'm gonna just pop in another one just randomly. At 54, Janet says her hormones are all over the place. She's very irritable, mood swings, craves chocolates and sweets. She exercises every day. But again, she's mentioned about she cannot shift everything around the middle. Night sweats are unbearable and keep her awake. What could help me this stage of life in the menopause mentally as well? I think we've just kind of chatted about that. But a little bit maybe about the cravings. How can people help control cravings that will, if some people might not even be in a deficit, they might just be quite happy maintaining, but they just eat well. But if you were wanting to lose a little bit of fat, what would your advice be to try and curb them sort of cravings?
So if someone's craving something, and if they're craving something that bad, then that comes from a sense of, are you depriving yourself of that food? Like, are you not having that in your diet because you deem it as bad? Are you restricting yourself that much that it's like you're constantly thinking about that food? Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then stop it. Stop it. And stop putting too much pressure on yourself to eat a certain way, to, you know, to be, tick all the boxes in terms with, you know, going through menopause, dealing with kids, dealing with classes, dealing with training, dealing with dieting. Stop putting too much pressure on yourself from that standpoint straight away.
Yeah.
If a cravings are a thing, and if, you know, if your diet lacks in high satiety foods, then maybe, you know, go for more satiating foods.
Yeah.
Some low calorie, high density foods. Low calorie, high volume foods. But from like the night sweats standpoint, sleep with a fan.
Yeah.
Problem solved. I sleep with a fan every night. It's
awesome. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'll go with another one because what's your advice on Kirsty? I'll just pop this in. Kirsty had said about consuming enough protein. You'll like this one because you like talking protein. I saw your Facebook earlier and your creatine. I love it. Consuming enough protein is her challenge. She struggles to get it in. Okay. So what advice would you give when buying protein powder? Do you really have to have protein powder? And what's your take on the things like protein bars? There's so much out there that she says it's everything claims to be the best, but some of us don't have that big budget. So what would you recommend, like, without going all out on the biggest expensive things? And is it really worth it?
Cool. So if you struggle with, let's start with the beginning of the sense of struggling with protein intake. If you're struggling with protein intake and you're not having a whey protein supplement, then stop it. Just get a fucking whey protein supplement. From struggling with protein perspective, start your day with some protein. Like, if you have breakfast, and if you have a high carb breakfast, maybe lower your carbs a little bit, have some more protein. Have a protein shake on top of your breakfast. Not physically, but as well as.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you can't physically drink protein shakes, because I know a lot of people don't like to drink a lot of protein shakes, mix it with a little bit of water. A post I put the other day spoke about making protein paste. So literally getting a scoop of protein in a cup, bit of water in.
Oh my god!
Like a paste.
I know he's online because I've just seen him. Yes, I'll say your name, Ricky. But he puts like puts it straight in his mouth, not protein powder, but like the pre-workout.
Oh, pre-workout, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Honestly. So, but please don't he's do that with psychopath. Protein powder. Sorry. Yeah, but like the protein. So you actually would just put it into a small paste and just get it down.
No, well, I get into a small paste and put it on a bagel.
All right, I was gonna say. I thought you were just gonna. Yeah. You're just gonna like yeah. I'm like oh god.
I'm not a psychopath.
I put it in. I actually put I put it in my Greek yogurt, and that's what I have in the morning for my breakfast. In my Greek yogurt,
is a win, absolute win in terms of the protein. Yeah. Like the protein amount in that, as well as whey protein, amazing. Yeah. Protein bars. So, to be honest with you, my personal opinion of protein bars is just they're just fancy ass chocolate bars.
I agree.
Chocolate cravings. They are a hit of protein. You're going to get more of a better source of protein through food because it's more what's called bioavailable. It's more diverse in amino acids. It's better absorbed by the body. You're always going to have a better chance with food rather than protein bars. But yeah. Protein bars do satisfy a sweet tooth, do help get that protein and more. To be honest, there's no best protein bars out there. I just tend to go with Grenade. To be honest, like carb killers, because they taste nice.
My friend Charlotte really likes the my protein ones because they're like that thick. It's like we've seen them. They're so good though.
Yeah, they are.
But I tend not to. I would prefer. And this is going to sound disgusting, but I would pick up a tin of tuna. Instead of a protein bar. That is just how I work. I would actually eat tuna out of the tin rather than go for a protein bar because that's just...
It's going to fill you up more. It's going to satisfy you more.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Definitely. So, definitely.
Brilliant.
I'm just seeing where we're at. Right, I'm going to go into quite a personal one from Laura, which I think is going to be really good for you because you have obviously yourself gone through a massive weight loss journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've obviously done this yourself, which makes it really, really good. And obviously, you know that I have as well. Kind of on the same path, but Laura has said, I'd quite like a personal question linked to eating disorders and body dysphoria that's usually triggered when she's on her period. When she feels fat, she slips into the mindset of I must exercise, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. And then she's absolutely normal after a couple of days. She understands that at that time of the month, her body needs the right fuel and self-love and care. What can she do mentally and physically to get out of that bad mindset?
Decent question. And to be honest, I did like this one. When you are going through, obviously, that stage where you feel bloated and fat, and you know, no one can help with that. If you feel like that, it's just... learning to accept it. It's body acceptance. And I hate using the word body positivity because that's just acceptance. Do you know what I mean? It's more of acceptance of, okay, I'm on my period, I'm bloated as fuck. That's fine. I find it helps quite a lot if people keep like a journal or a diary of this, like
this. Yeah, she mentioned should she be using an app? She's got an app on her phone. Do you think it would be a good thing to start to use for tracking?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can expect it as well. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're, let's say for example, feeling like this on between like the 8th and the 15th of a month and it's coming towards that time, you're going to expect, like, okay, I'm going to feel like this. I might feel quite shitty. It's just expecting that. Naturally, you will hold water anyway when you're on your period. That's just the way it is. That's just Mother Nature. So when you are, just be fucking kind to yourself. Do some light exercise. Do you know what I mean? Probably do some yoga, Pilates, if you're that much fatigued. Because people are. So maybe opt for a lower impact. If you do not want to do that, like I said earlier on, opt for a lower like impact exercise or... Yep. You know, yoga, Pilates, just be kind to yourself. And Yeah, in terms with obviously the body dysmorphia thing, like you said, I've come from a background where I used to be 20 stone and completely out of shape, completely obese, and yeah, it does. Them sort of thoughts do stay. Like, who's satisfied with how they look? No one. Like, there's always going to be a self-critique somewhere along the lines. Even if you compliment yourself, there's always going to be, well, I could get this better, or, you know, everyone's their own critic. And even I sometimes, you know, I like what I see, but also I don't. Mm-hmm. It's just accepting it. Like, fuck me, I've got stretch marks through skin.
Yeah, so have I.
I'm not hung up. Yeah, ego, you are as well. Like, we accept it. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard. It's hard. Like, I'm happy to admit that I struggle with it sometimes as well. But I also need to remember that it's 7 years since I lost all my weight, and I'm maintaining quite comfortably. So
yeah,
it's just being able to accept, like, this. If this is where my body's quite happy to stay now, then cool. And if I wanted more, I can go and get it. Just like we were talking about earlier, I need to go and put the graft in. So
exactly. Like, and you know what? 2021 is a far better year to, you know, to deal with these things, to accept the way you are, because.
Yeah.
Look what's circulating in the market now. It's acceptance of body positivity. It's all this, it's all that. When I was going through my weight loss journey, this was never a thing.
No.
Like, when I was in high school, this was not a thing.
No, it just wasn't.
It's good that whoever's dealing with that little thought now of thinking, I hate this, I hate that, I suffer from this. This is the best time to think this. So, like I said, write down what your feelings are, write down what your thoughts are, expect it when the month comes up to that time, and you'll have a lot of better, hopefully a lot of better mindset when it comes
I think I saw something on your Facebook or your Instagram not that long ago about you know you are about 4 or 5 kilograms heavier than what you were post lockdown. And yeah, it's just, is that what you said? Like, you, because yeah,
I've gained 11 pounds in lockdown. I don't give a fuck. I mean, I don't care.
Exactly. And I think, yeah.
You know what I mean? People are trying to worry about losing weight right now. So when they get out of lockdown, they're trying to impress people they don't like. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Accept it. You got time. Do you know what I mean? You've got time. Just chill out.
And I think that's so important, which I'm really happy, just like with the fitness group, with the girls and with the two guys that I've got coming as well. I put this together, Chris, to help people get through a really shit situation. I didn't put it here because I was going to transform people's bodies. I wanted it more to be up here. Yeah. Does that make sense?
You can't make a transformation
unless
this changes first.
Yeah. And whatever, if anybody, like, I know there's been a few people that have had some really awesome results and they're feeling stronger and they're feeling great, but that's awesome. I just hope that they feel good going back to the gym, that they just kept moving. That's it. Like, that's it. And if you put on a few pounds, I know I have, like, because I don't have a big massive squat rack to rattle off a floor right now. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like you say, it's completely accepting that everybody's in the same situation and we shouldn't have to stress about it.
No, absolutely
shouldn't
not.
Have to stress and about it.
If you do, it's, you know, why are you stressing about it for? Who are you trying to impress? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, no one cares in a nice way. No one cares you gain weight. No one cares.
No, they don't.
That you can't lift X amount of weight anymore. No one cares.
No. I'm just having a quick through. I'm just having a look at the Facebook Live as well to see if anybody has. Everybody's talking about the wind that protein gives them, Chris. They can't have it because it gets.
Yeah. Sugar alcohol's in it. Yeah, that's why.
So they're all laughing because they can't take it because it makes them smell.
Yeah.
Which is really, really, really funny. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. God, there's still loads of people online. I'm just having a quick look through just to make sure. Is there anything I've missed that you want to say, Chris, about?
I don't think so.
One from Ashley.
Yeah.
One from Ashley, who's just a new mum. She's obviously had surgery as well to remove gallstones for her pregnancy. What would you suggest to get the optimum out of my training following a period of, quite frankly, her body taking a bit of a beating?
Cool. So with the, after the, obviously the C-section and stuff, is it the C-section you mentioned? What's the pregnancy?
She didn't say she had it, but she just had emergency surgery to remove gallbladder. They suspect she got gallstones due to pregnancy. But other than that, she's totally fit and healthy. So as like a new mum trying to get back into, just had a baby, just had surgery, what would you recommend? Again, just probably being kind to yourself again.
I'd recommend just going back to the basics. And again, working off that RP scale, how does a certain exercise feel? Does it feel intense, 10 out of 10? Does it feel uncomfortable? You know, I'd say in our sense, just back to basics, use progressive overload as a, you know, performance indicator, as progress. And just work from there, just back to basics.
Yeah. I'm going to jump back to one from Laura. She said about her appetite, it rockets on her cycle, both in portion size and sweet things. Does she actually need to eat more food on her period? What are the nutritional essentials at this time? And how can you really curb that sweet craving?
Yeah, so with the portion size as well and the sweet things, eat more food. Like I said before, the extra, you know, 200 to 300 calories, if you want to be as clever as possible with that, maybe make it more bang for your buck, you know, loads of Greek yogurt and berries and some chocolate. If you're craving sweet things, have the sweet things.
Yeah,
don't deprive yourself from anything. Obviously don't go nailing down full bars of fucking dairy milk and stuff. Like, that's where, if you deprive yourself of something that long, that's where it's going to come from. Just allow it every day.
So if you could just as a nutritional coach right now, say even for women, if there are people, if the girls are in the group are thinking, do you know what, I fancy just trying to just do a little bit of a wee fat loss like journey, just maybe focus on my nutrition better. What can you put it into terms for them, a way without sacrificing the things that they want, that they'll understand, and obviously that they'll understand that they need to be in a calorie deficit, but there might be some people that maybe don't really understand how to do that and stick to it. So if you were talking to a client who came to you and said, I'm 50 years old, I want to lose a little bit of fat, I want to try and get a little bit of shape around me, what would you do to help somebody like that?
Real. So decent question. So what I'd do is if they are struggling to even adhere to a deficit, or if it's not the right time in the cycle of life to do it. So I'd say if I had someone right now and if I was dealing with the nutrition, I'd say maybe let's diet for 2 weeks of a month. And the other 2 weeks, let's go to maintenance. So you're a diet that, you know, it is a diet you can stick to for 2 weeks. And then the other 2 weeks you're maintaining weight. You're not gaining, you're not losing, you're maintaining. A diet like that is going to trump a diet where you can't stick to it at all, and you gain through binge eating, you gain through the deprivation of the foods. From what I'd do as a standpoint is, yeah, 2 weeks of deficit, 2 weeks of maintenance, and to make sure that they are satisfying their sweet cravings when they are on their period.
Mm-hmm. And do you think such apps, do you approve of such apps as MyFitnessPal, things like that? I think I saw you talking about something about MyFitnessPal on Instagram earlier, I can't remember.
Yeah, so yeah, I again it's a decent measuring tool. People should think of it as a learning tool, but it's always gonna be wrong. Food in itself, food labels, they have room for error, all of them. I think it's up to 10% of the foods can be inaccurate. But through that sense, misreporting. So let's talk about misreporting. So even I can misreport sometimes. Even dietitians misreport sometimes. MyFitnessPal is a brilliant tool, but it's some people always have it as black and white thinking. Mm-hmm. So if they maybe, I've had people before saying, look, I've had 600 calories today and I'm not losing weight. I'm like, let me see MyFitnessPal. tracking some errors, and I'm like, no, inaccurate. So yeah, it's decent app. It's brilliant.
I also think as well that some people actually forget to, like, if you're going to use it and you want to use it properly, you have to be honest. So yeah, that is the, like, if you just shovel a soup spoon of peanut butter into your yogurt, actually it's not the 15 grams, and it's all that, it's all the little things, all the spices that you're putting into it. I know it sounds silly, but it's all the things that we think, well, not that whole milk of the 10 coffees that you have during the day instead of a black coffee, those 10 whole milks of coffee that you're actually having, are, and you aren't logging that, is probably what, 200-300 calories? Like,
yeah. Like, say if you have, like, you know, 10 cups of tea a day and you have a little bit of splash of milk, that can turn into a couple hundred calories, easy.
Yeah. And it's, again, but again, it goes back to, we shouldn't have to say, well, I'm not going to have that latte from Costa. Like, it shouldn't be like that. It should just be, I'm not going to have a latte from Costa three times a day, every single day of the week.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Plus, I don't know about you, but I like eating my calories. I don't like drinking them.
Yeah. Well, that's very, very true. And it's expensive. I have a Costa addiction, and luckily there is not one near me. So I'm quite all right with that. I have
£51 on my Costa points.
I've got 53. I've got 53, I think it is.
Yeah, I need to start buying Costa again.
Oh, it's so, so bad. I'm just running through to see if there's any. Has anybody got any questions up on the live that you want to chat about? I'm going to jump into one little question that came from Nick. Poor Nick in my fitness group, Chris. He does so well. The women really pick on him. He's the one gentleman that comes to a lot of my classes along with another guy, and he puts up with all the women's crack. And I'm really, really pleased that he actually just popped in a little comment, if I can find it. He says, so for me, being a male, 56, quite active, but he's noticing a lot of joint pain now. He wants to maintain his active and keep his youthful looks. Should he be eating typically as a man? Because I know we've spoken a lot about women. And should he be taking any supplements as a man to keep him? He really enjoys a lot of high intensity stuff. He really likes his body attack, and he does lift weights. The gentleman, like Nick, I must say you look in great shape for your age. And I think that's really, really good. But I think he's just starting to feel the pain now. So any tips for Nick?
Absolutely. Like, I feel your pain, mate. I'm 24 and I feel your pain. Like, lifting heavy weights all the time, doing heavy HIIT training all the time, it is joint bearing. So through a supplement point of view, yes, we can start taking like glucosamine and what's it called? Glucosamine, something else. As soon as I see, I forgot. Glucosamine. And we can take like things like cod liver oil, we can take joint capsules, we can take, there's a supplement I use called Strom Sports Support Max Joint that has brilliant ingredients in there that can help a lot with joints. I don't get paid by them, by the way, to say this. I wish it did. it'd save so much money. But yeah, I use that. So yeah, start using supplements, joint supplements to help, and just do what? Stretch more, be more mobile, work on flexibility. And if you need to have a week off or week lighter weights just to recuperate, do it.
Yeah. Emma's just asked in the Facebook Live, Chris, should I take collagen now that I'm in my mid-40s?
We're splitting hairs. Don't focus too much on that sense. Again, your body would naturally intake it anyway. So don't stress too much about that. I wouldn't.
No.
I
can't see any more on there. Is there anything I've missed or anything that you had written down, Chris, that you want to go through? Because I think I've went through nearly all of them.
Do you know what? I think I've written all written down. I've pretty much said it away, I think. I did write down about menopausal women that, again, just
that was the main focus. If there's anything you want to, if there's anything you want to add on that, because obviously Sally had said that, like, she's just struggling with a dip in mental health over that as well, like feeling like she's hit a brick wall, no energy. She tends to eat healthy but notice weight gain again. And also overheating while actually exercising, it when it never used to be like that. So now it's the overheating. But like, that's like, obviously I'm only I'm 35 on Sunday, but I'm staying 34 because it's not the year. But obviously, I'm not at that age now, so it's, I really don't understand how she's feeling, but I can see during the class and when she's finished, like, I know she's not embarrassed by it, because it just, to me, looks like she's just worked really, really hard, but she is genuinely proper overheating during the class.
Yeah, do you know what? It's hard, because, like, from my standpoint, like you said there, you don't know how she's feeling, you can't relate. I can't relate either. From an overheating standpoint, I've been hot before, but probably not as hot as someone like that is feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you are overheating and when you are doing high intense training, just make sure you're just hydrated, make sure you're in a cool place, and just make sure if you need to leave and get some air, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Exactly. So again, goes back to the saying, like, just don't be so hard on yourself. Like, stop thinking, you know, no one cares. Yeah. No one cares. Like, you know, if you're looking sweaty or if you're feeling sweaty, and if you're thinking, fuck, I'm sweating my tits off in class and everyone's going to look at me. No. No one cares.
No.
In a nice way.
No, definitely not. I'm going to bring that on to just a little bit of going back to Nicola, who obviously works with that, just kind of brings it in nicely, saying, I think this is for her to take away, to actually think, because obviously she writes this Women's Health magazine. Is there any advice for managing premenopause and menopause and the increased risk of osteoporosis? Any nutritional or exercise tips for these people?
Yes, from a nutritional standpoint, protein. Increase your protein. So protein has been obviously researched a lot of preventing what's called sarcopenia, which is muscle breakdown in elderly. This can also be prevalent with premenopausal, perimenopausal women, postmenopausal women. This is very prevalent on that standpoint. Mm-hmm. Increase your protein to help decrease protein breakdown. This is an absolute. Strength training, make sure, again, you work on some sort of resistance training. Make sure, again, adequate protein in the day. And again, most of it comes down to nutritional and training. So if you are struggling from, like, I don't know, being demotivated because all of a sudden you can't lift heavier or you can't put on this much muscle mass, just think, and this is a very fucking very good point, studies have shown a 21 decrease in strength between ages of 25 and 55 years.
That's big.
21. That's fucking massive. So again, realign expectations, just set goals that are attainable for you.
Yeah.
Expect it, enjoy the best thing you can do. Just have knowledge about it. Just know about it and increase your protein, keep it consistent. You know, when you're getting older, you don't want sarcopenia. You know, you don't want the wastage of muscle tissue. I'm sure no one in this group will because of the habits they're putting in place right now to set them up for later in life.
Exactly. And I think that's really important, that a lot of stuff that I try to concentrate on with the group is just create, it all comes down to habits, and it all comes down to creating better habits. You already had a habit that you thought was bad, but you already got yourself there. It's how to bring yourself into a new habit. I am absolutely murder for waking up every night, and I know why it is. It's because I have my coffee in the morning, I have a can of Monster, I might have a coffee in the afternoon, and I might have another coffee. And I wake up probably 3-4 times a night, and I keep forgetting, it's going to be fine because I had the coffee at like 3 o'clock. And I have had to really, really say, right, the cutoff is 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's a hard habit to hit, because I come home from my work at 5 o'clock. I'm going to teach a class at 6.
So I want that boost. Yeah.
And then I can't sleep.
Yeah. Very common in group instructors. So caffeine has a half-life of 4 to 6 hours. So even even Pepsi Max, Diet Coke.
Oh! God, Diet Coke.
That has caffeine in.
Oh.
That has caffeine in. Like, I think splitting hairs, we're probably talking 40 or 50 milligrams of caffeine in a Diet Coke.
Oh, Jesus.
So if you're necking...
Just, I'm trying to break the habit and I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to... Oh, Nicola's just called me. Nicola, who you were talking about, the government one. Nicola just says, I love the don't be a dick to yourself message, which is totally... which is totally...
I mean, I wouldn't put that in government policy.
No. Alison's asking, my friend Alison's probably asking this because of me, what are your thoughts on Monster? Chris likes a Monster. I have seen Chris's Instagram.
If you see my bin, you would be mortified.
Oh, how many is in it?
Monster in there. Thoughts on Monster. Listen. Ooh. Fact. This is from Ava. Monster's absolutely fine. It's 11 calories, for God's sake. It's no sugar. And many Monsters contain L-carnitine and actually contain inositol as well, which can help PCOS.
Really?
We're talking a little bit of dosage here and there, but yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I'm just double checking to see if there's anything else on here, but we're probably going to, that's an hour we've been on now, so wow. I'm going to ask everybody in the group if there's any quick fire questions you want to drop in on anything or anything that we missed before we log off, and just let us know if you managed to get loads of content. That was a good chat, Chris.
That was good.
That was a really, really good chat. So if you've got any questions that you quickly want to put in, nothing about Monster, because Chris likes it just as much as me. Just pop them in, but I really do. Janet doesn't do fizzy drinks. What's your thought? Oh, Chris Sal's just popped this in. This is Chris loves this. What is your thoughts on creatine and should we take it?
Ooh, damn.
I know, you were like that.
Short answer, yes.
I take
it. The long answer is, why wouldn't you take it? It's very inexpensive. It has a ton of heavily researched benefits, such as increased explosive activity, aerobic exercise, even neurological effects as well, or benefits. So even the decline in your senses and your neurological senses when you get older in the elderly, yeah, creatine. So one of the most heaviest researched supplements on the planet, very inexpensive. If you do any sort of weight training, any sort of HIIT training, group exercise training, just take it.
I swear by it. I take it every morning. And you know, if it's not very often that I forget to put on my protein order in, but if I don't have it for 3 or 4 days or a couple of days, I know that I've not had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah, it you can notice. A lot of people probably ask questions about the dosage. You can load it. If you load it, people experience some like gut issues and distress. Naturally, you would. Mm-hmm. 5 grams a day is a good place to start. If you are stressing about gaining weight, then if you do not gain weight when taking creatine, then it probably is not creatine. You will gain weight. Scale weight. It's water retention. Because it's intracellular. It's inside the cells. It hydrates the cells.
Yeah, I think that's really...
Monohydrate.
Yeah, I think that's really important to address that, because I see the amount of people that have said to me, oh, but it makes you fat. It makes you fat. It's not.
Calories make you fat. Too much calories makes you fat. People stress about how it affects kidney, adrenal damage. There's been a ton of research. I can comment later on with the links.
Yeah, because Shola's just commented saying, what is it? You want to put something, what is creatine? What is it? She's just saying, is it?
So creatine is a powder. It comes in powder form. It replenishes ATP and ADP a lot better, a lot more efficiently. So again, you'll notice a bit more of better recovery time. You'll notice a bit more of explosiveness from your activities. You know, you're gonna notice a little bit of an increase in strength too. So you can buy it from MyProtein. You know, don't be too obsessed with the fancy versions of creatine. There's tons. Creatine monohydrate. Just get it.
Yep, so do I. I think that's a good wee place to close out. I'm just going to ask you a wee question that we might all like a personal one probably for you.
Go
just
for
to
it.
Kind of just to kind of finish it up. But how have you felt? Probably feeling the same as what other people are, and not being able to do what they normally would do. Because if anybody follow, I'll drop Chris's Instagram into my group later, and you can give him a follow on Instagram. But you are literally in a box, and you've got a bar and some weights, and you're just trying to do your thing. And so, how has, as a PT as well, and trying to help people at the same time, and but your own kind of mental health during this whole 2020-21, what have you done that might probably some people might be able to relate to? What's your mental mindset to get through this?
Do you know what? It's been hard. I've had me pity parties. I've had the frustrations. I've had the days where I just couldn't be fucking arsed. And I've had days where I intend to train. I get in the shed, which is my current gym, the Timber Temple. Get in there. I warm up. I do my first exercise. And I'm like, fuck this. It's been hard, but on other days it's been good. Some days, you know, recently I'm on a good little roll where, touch wood, it's been all right. But yeah, I manage mine by just having a routine. I go for walks every morning. I train later in the afternoon. I do some work in midday. I play some PlayStation as well. I read. I do things inadvertently to help my mental health without realizing, I think. But it's just routine for me.
I think it's really important to like also say it to everybody else. Like, we're all going through the same thing in different ways, and we all deal with it in different ways. But I think just being and just doing what you really enjoy, just do what you can. Yeah. Like, don't do stuff that you don't like. See, because it's lockdown and you hate running, don't run. Like, don't run. I hate running. I'm not going to run. Like, find stuff that you enjoy and you'll be more inclined to stick to it. And I think that's what's been so important within my fitness group, is I've had a timetable that's not changed for the past 8 months. People know I teach a cycle class at that time, and it's just having that routine and just being accountable to yourself and just saying, I'm going to go and do it. And this year's kind of flown by, to be honest, which has been great. We're getting some lovely comments just coming in, Chris, just to say thank you, like saying thank you for all the informative chat. And they really enjoyed it. Lots of useful information. That's been a wicked little chat. So just wanted to say thank you to everybody who's joined in tonight. And I hope you got something from that. And Chris, it was really great to have a wee chat with you.
Beautiful.
And we will see you
soon. Thank you,
everyone. Bye.
There you have it. Really enjoyed that live with Emma and her group, asking questions mainly around female health and just the stigma around it and how we can change it. If you are listening to this right now and you have PCOS, or you know someone with PCOS, then I'm doing a webinar on the 25th of March at 7 p.m. It's going to tell you all about PCOS, how to manage it, and just how to break free from that restrictive mindset of not being able to lose weight with PCOS. If you want to know more details, head to the link in the show notes and you can see the ticket on Eventbrite there. But ladies and gents, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.